When the crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake, spooks come out for a secondary wake. Happy haunts materialize and begin to vocalize. The heroes come out to socialize.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes Podcast. It's a super special edition as we kick off 8-Bit Geeks Horror Fest. This year's theme is horror remakes, and this is your host, Trevor, and join me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prog.
And creepy crawler...
excuse me. And creepy crawling into your ears, this is DeLorean Wolfgang.
We're here...
Well, of course. I mean, we're starting a podcast. What do you mean?
Well, I was just trying to, riff
isn't
on
that what
movie
Skype's
that we're
all about,
be
man?
About.
Everybody knew we were here. Brother!
Why are we here, Trevor?
I don't like
what
that brother
this?
Thing, but whatever.
Is that Hulk Hogan introduction?
Yeah, that
brother?
Was a whole Hulk Hogan thing that I really couldn't go for. Not very spooky.
Super spooky times had by all because. Guess what? We watched Poltergeist, and we're going to talk about the remake of Poltergeist that came out in 2015, which just may be the best remake of all time.
Hot take! Hot as a hot take! Oh,
that's your Ooh. Clickbait of the week!
I should have watched Poltergeist instead, because that's a clucking good time.
Ooh.
Whoa.
But we didn't. But we did. We watched Poltergeist, the remake.
Poltergeist, the remake, man.
Ooh.
Oh, starring Sam Rockwell.
Of all people.
How can you go wrong with Sam Rockwell?
Well, you can. And they did.
Yeah, just ask Iron Man 2.
Right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not too sure why he signed up for this. But he did.
Well, and then the wife is the lady from Black Mirror who's super overprotective of her daughter.
Oh,
she
yes.
has like the little iPad
that's
that controls what she
her.
Sees.
She
mutes the
okay.
scary dog and
I'm
stuff.
I'm like, she looks familiar and kind of weird. Am I, who
I know,
is this
I had
woman?
To look it up. I couldn't just let it go.
Okay, that was from Black Mirror. That wasn't Poltergeist, because when you're saying mute the iPad, I'm like, wait, what movie did you guys see? Because that's not what I saw.
The remake of the remake of the remake.
Her name's Rosemary DeWitt.
Rosemary DeWitt. There you go.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rosemary DeWitt, starring in Poltergeist, the remake. That's what they should have called this. They should have just called this Poltergeist, the remake, not just Poltergeist. Because it was like, it was
I
pretty much
it fun at the end that Sam Raimi was producing on it.
Oh,
it
I didn't
like
notice
a
that.
Spider-Man 3.
Interesting. Okay.
Did you get those feels?
a little bit. A little Spider-Man 3 action going on there. In terms of quality.
Well, Gil Keenan was the director of this.
Good for Gil.
I don't know who he is. I don't know. I thought you guys might
like
have known
that
a Gil.
Fade to silence.
No idea. Some work for hire director, I guess.
He did City of Ember and Monster House and stuff like that.
Great. So here's the deal. This is literally, we're talking about horror remakes. That's why we were doing this podcast. And this is a remake of what many people, maybe not everybody, but many people do consider a classic horror film from the 80s. And they pretty much did a direct remake. It wasn't like trying to do their own spin on it. They did change some things that we'll probably talk about in this podcast, but it was really just a straight up remake. To me, those don't always work. What do you guys think?
I didn't think it worked at all. There was really no reason for it. Why take a perfect horror movie?
Yeah, perfect.
Dude,
okay.
Are you kidding? Okay, here's the thing. Okay,
I can't even let you go.
I'm not even, you know what? Here, I'll start from the beginning here. Because honestly, Poltergeist, the original Poltergeist 1982, was the first horror movie I ever saw when I was a little kid.
And I think for a lot of kids, it is.
Dude, I had so many nightmares about this movie. I remember staying at my buddy's place and his parents, he had such a turd of a dad. And he goes, you guys should watch this movie. And I'm like seven. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to be big and strong and I'm going to watch me a scary movie. And so we turn it on and no joke, man, I'm like, this is terrifying. Why am I watching this?
I think this is terrifying to Trevor in other ways, but...
But I actually, because of that, it kind of stuck with me and it lived with me. And as an adult, I went back and revisited and I was like, I actually really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as an adult and I thought it was very fun. But I know that Trevor has some hot takes, so please, Trevor, go ahead.
This is Trevor, your local Grim Reaper of your nostalgia, because this movie was absolutely atrociously bad. I didn't grow up with Poltergeist, so I watched it for the first time this past week.
First
so you have
ever.
Some kind of
yes,
setup
folks.
Going into the remake, and man, this movie is goofy. There is no horror context or subtext through the entirety of the film. You're just kind of laughing at how goofy and stupid it is. I don't understand how anyone likes this film.
Okay, that's the original. We're not. We shouldn't be talking
we're
about the original.
On the remake. Sure. We're talking about the remake. We're gonna be talking about.
Here,
right.
Here's the thing.
Right. If you don't like the original, I don't know how you're gonna like the remake. But the original, just for from background for people listening here, the original one was gonna be an R rating because PG-13 did not exist at the time. So they Steven Spielberg really pushed his team and the director and the ratings board to make it PG, and they pushed hard for it and they won. So for a lot of kids in the 80s, it really was their first horror film. And it probably wouldn't have been if it weren't rated R, and who knows if it would have gone on to the status that it has been in many people's eyes. I think this is a perspective thing. I think a lot of people grew up with it rather than adults liking it back then, if that makes sense.
Well, and here's
it's
my
super goofy.
Right. I mean, it is, but we love that. When you're a kid, you want goofy horror. You don't want the most scary thing you're ever going to see that you're not going to watch ever again.
And watching it as an adult, I actually had that feeling of it's a very whimsical movie.
Spielberg,
for myself, I feel like that's the huge disconnect between the 2015 and the 1982 version.
Correct.
Is that the 1982 version had this whimsy about it. It was very, it still had its fun bits.
Right.
Like, it wasn't super scary, but for a seven-year-old, yeah, that's terrifying. But as an adult, it had this whimsy and fun to it.
And a lot of films back then did. A lot of, horror films, a lot of adventure and sci-fi films all had that feel. And that's why shows like Stranger Things were so popular, is because people said it made them feel the same way as those films did when they were a kid. It had
really
a
Stranger
special
Things
tone.
Is super serious.
If you
it
look
doesn't
at
have much whimsy at all.
If you look at reviews of season one, I would guarantee you that probably most of the reviews reference Amblin Entertainment for the inspiration, as well the Duffer Brothers do as well.
Super 8.
Not Super 8. I don't know what you're talking about. Super 8 is not even 80s.
We're talking about referencing Amblin.
Super 8 is awful.
J.J. Abrams loves Steven Spielberg.
I know, but he doesn't know how to do it well, unfortunately. The Duffer Brothers do.
Oh, it had magical whimsy and lens flare.
Oh, it did not. It did not. Just
it did. It just didn't have any soul.
No.
Oh, my God,
exactly.
Dude.
Anyways, we're not talking about that film, but yeah, anyways. Moving on to Poltergeist.
Let's get to the remake.
Let's talk about the remake.
What did you guys think overall? I mean, should we start? Or should we wait for our overall
do
ratings?
Do we go overall
let's
or
do
we
overall.
Do specifics?
Let's go all in overall.
No.
Here.
Overall at the end.
What?
Sorry. Let's overall at the end. But let's go through the movie a little bit and kind of digest or kind of dissect the movie.
It's
going to
be
not
tough
digest.
Because I really just want to
digest and dissect is a little weird. Am I right? But it's spooky horror, so I guess it works.
Okay.
So
let's
start this thing,
this,
the remake with Sam Rockwell. 2015. Let's put a spectacle to something that we love and Trevor hates.
I just want to tell you what I think, but I guess I'm not going to get a chance to. So, off the bat,
you have to let people marinate.
Right, I'll
and
let
get
you,
you know, you're
I'll let you marinate in this turd of a film.
You got to set it up, man. Come on.
So the
why should I listen to the end of the podcast if you just said, the remake was super terrible, dude?
Well, no star, right? Anyways. So I don't know how I feel about this film yet, but when it first opens, you kind of get the
you
feel.
You know how you feel. You just don't want the listeners to know how you feel.
True. So the movie opens up, and you can tell that they're going for almost a straight-up remake, right? They have the same little community, the same exact house. The same number of people in the family. I mean, the whole thing is set up exactly the same.
They zoom in on the LEDs
Everything.
Of an iPad rather than the TV
right.
screen
it's like
snow of the original.
Yeah, it's like that little twist. Like, we're special because of this little twist and this little twist.
Well, yeah, they had technology.
Sure.
They had technology in this one, which the technology was so goofy because you don't see technology make those type of
And then here's my thing with like modern horror remakes is that they have everything go through technology. So all of these hauntings happen through technology because of technology and electricity. And that's what they did in this because of the power lines. Obviously, they reference it back eventually to the tombstones and the dead bodies. But in the beginning, you're like, OK, there's the power
lines.
There's the power lines.
we forgot a spoiler warning we're going to spoil a 1982 film in case you have
seen this film or the god-awful remake. We're going to. But you zoom in on those power lines with the, you know, the logo for the film, the title for the film.
Oh, that I already had to make a note of how stupid the intro title was on the grass below the power lines.
It was like it was like
we're in for this movie.
It was like, hey, intern, can you put the word poltergeist in the grass and like hide it really well so it looks like.
And
a
then
ghost?
The T was cut off, so it just said poltergeist.
It's poltergeist. It's the poltergeist. Hey, it's the poltergeist.
So
it was awful.
I mean. But yeah, at the beginning, they're meeting up with their realtor to see the house for the first time.
Which is a big difference, because in the original, Craig T. Nelson is the actual realtor.
Yeah.
He gets the first house in the lot. He's the one who's selling 47% of houses there. This is someone who's specifically avoiding telling you what's going on. So this realtor, that's like malpractice kind
it
of
is.
Thing of not discussing this at all.
Like, how do you not tell your people that are moving in? Whatever.
Well, and here's a big difference, too. Well, I guess it's not a huge difference or anything, but this movie takes place in Illinois, and the original takes place in California, in, like, a cool California town with a California family.
It looked just like California, though. I'm pretty
sure they probably filmed it. But the weird part is, one of the weird things, like, right off the bat was when they're talking to the realtor, and they're talking so strangely to the realtor. Like
they talk strangely throughout this whole thing. I've noticed it was whoever wrote this didn't know how to write dialogue very well.
And that's the thing. It felt like someone didn't know how to write.
Yeah.
It felt like so forced so weird.
And I'm used to bad. I'm used to bad horror, you know, and I don't think that this was meant to be like bad horror. And I don't think the original.
It definitely took itself seriously. Oh, and that's what made
itself,
it that much worse.
Exactly. It made it
for
way too seriously. It was like, oh man. It should not
so
have.
And also, right at the start, they say a technophile was a previous owner. Well, tell me, is he like in an insane asylum now? Is he dead? Why is he not at this house?
Yeah, why is
he
referenced?
You know,
like,
why is he
why
selling
bring
this
him up?
House?
Why bring him up?
I would ask some questions other than saying that, oh, you like John Deere? Guess what? I just got laid off from them.
Exactly.
Oh, that was so cringy, man.
God,
like, bad. Why are you saying that?
Yeah, and then he walks away from the conversation and like, the realtor's within earshot of the conversation. I'm like, what is happening?
Oh, when he says I'm having a super awkward
what
conversation
is happening?
With the realtor.
Like,
no, dude,
man.
he didn't break eye contact with the
no,
realtor.
It was so weird.
When he says I'm having a super awkward conversation with the realtor and he's looking her dead in the eye and it's like, dude, who does that?
This movie might end up being so bad that I might like it eventually, so you need to stop. Let's just continue on with the rest of the
well,
movie.
So,
and you have the creepy little girl, of course. We get to pander her.
Oh,
she's talking to the closet that's stuck. You can't even open the closet. Conveniently enough, a closet in the little girl's room.
Okay, but hold on. That comes with the first just awful, dumb jump scare.
I know. Like, why do they need the jump scares?
All the guy did was touch the handle of the door.
It's
like, whoa, he touched the handle.
I'm sure that
why did that need to be such a jump scare? It was so, like,
know.
I'm sitting on the couch watching it on my laptop while my wife is watching another show, and I jump and I just about lose the computer, and I'm like, what the hell was that? Nothing happened.
Yep. Nothing
it was
happened.
So dumb.
Sorry, well, you even have the ball sequence at the start where
you
he's
do,
like,
yes.
Hey, kid, I'm going to throw a ball with you. And it's like this super awkward exchange. But even the cuts themselves were awkward where you could tell that he tossed
it
in the air.
So poorly
they
edited,
cut it
yes.
and they had someone else throw the ball and land
for sure.
in a stupid spot. I was like, come
like,
on.
Who is filming this movie?
That whole exchange, it almost made it feel like Sam Rockwell was the stepdad.
It
made
did,
it
right?
feel like he was, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It
like
he
what, like he's never had a conversation with his son before.
Yeah, so weird. Like they were trying so hard to do so many different things with this movie that they forgot to make Poltergeist.
Right,
you know, it was
right.
like, oh, that's right, we're remaking Poltergeist here. Well, let's make sure we watch Poltergeist and put some of the same scenes in. But the thing starting talking about the boy in this movie, they really heavily focused on him instead of the girl.
Right.
Which I found
showing
weird.
Just how much of a coward he is and
but
how
he had no
scary
special
he
abilities. He couldn't hear the ghost. It made no sense to focus on him. It had
oh,
no,
no
impact
he,
on the story.
He did hear the tree growl. by the way, listeners, Prague's eyes just rolled way in the back of his head on that one.
Sure did. Yeah, it just
but
made
yeah,
no
the
narrative
kid's
sense.
Like, he walks up to the tree, stares up at the tree, and he goes, well, I'm scared of this tree.
I'm scared of this tree now. Maybe I should give it some Pepto.
Well, it's a sinister tree that's also ancient, but I do have to give him credit that it's a real tree. Unlike the original, where you can tell it's just like fake tree, and I hated seeing the fake tree in the original.
So we'll give the remake some credit for using
a
real
tree. I'll give remake a point
Shout
for
out
the
to
real
the
tree.
All right. Okay, now we're on point system like this. Okay, good.
OG, shout out to the actor dog. That actor dog was amazing in the 1982 movie.
I love
movie.
Actor dog.
Every dog is a good boy. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, where do we go from here?
Oh, God.
Well, so we have the sinister tree parallel at the outset, and then we have pushing up stick at the outset, because we don't have the dead bird to bury
True.
With the flowers. Instead, they do their own gardening where the flowers just die after he goes to the mall and shows that he's a stupid idiot because he's broke, he's poor, but he finds a credit card that works to buy
an
stupid
iPhone,
stuff for his family.
Yeah, an iPhone and a bunch of jewelry and all this... A
the
drone.
AR drone, which actually is going to come in handy later
oh,
in the
by the way, oh. the AR drone is going to come in play. I knew it did as soon as he bought it for him. I'm like, oh, God. Okay.
Well, here's something that was a little weird to me. The mother starts doing the laundry. She loses her earring in between the laundry machines. She and then looks under there and puts her hand in a bunch of sewage. And she jumps back. And like sewage is pouring from
like pouring
below,
out, yeah,
pouring like,
it's like
just
a
massive amount. And she walks into the kitchen and goes, there's like some kind of leak or something. I don't know. And then boop, okay, that's it.
Okay,
that's what?
She's not, like in their
dude, are you kidding me? If that was my wife, I would be dragging all this crap out of my garage and having to figure out where all this sewage is coming from, calling a bunch of people.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think so. Very unbelievable, people.
Well, it's like the mom in the original is like enjoying the idea that the chair sliding
oh,
across the
fun,
ground.
Yeah.
She drew the marks on the
oh
ground.
My God.
She's like, look, you gotta see this, And then she starts to freak out as the movie goes.
Right.
And she even puts her kid there, so the kid slides
yeah.
across. And
see, it's whimsical.
The
it's whimsical. It's so much fun. God, I love that movie.
Yeah, see, it is whimsical. Now, in the new one, they don't have anything like that.
No, it's, nowhere near it. I kept waiting for it. I'm like, why is it not happening?
No whimsy. No like, chairs
no,
building
nothing.
Up or anything. No, like, that
oh,
was...
Oh, they switched that
they switched
out for
the cards.
Comic books.
Yeah,
oh,
comic
but the comic,
books, right, the
but
comic
that
books.
Was...
And then they
it, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
So
and how is that even scary? I
let's introduce the clowns. How does there become clowns in this movie? The last owner hid a bunch of clowns up in the attic, where the boy gets to stay. That's his bedroom, which, by the way...
I like kicking the boy up to the attic when, in the original... I've never seen a room where the son and the daughter around the same age are in the same room in this weird
right.
kind of thing. But regardless, this one, he gets kicked to the attic, and the daughter gets this big, huge room all to herself.
Yeah, right?
Well, I'm not gonna lie, dude. As a kid, I would have loved to have had the attic. The attic looks awesome. And he's got
yeah.
a skylight that
a
looks
cat,
across
right?
I mean yeah to
the skylight
looks at
conveniently
the
looks
right
about
right
the,
tree.
The tree
right
but in the original the tree is to his side window and now they position the bed under the skylight so he can just stare at it
right
yeah.
yes so
I, do.
The boy,
I was like this is gonna be good
the boy in the attic as he's trying to go to sleep hears a bunch of noises up there he goes and opens this little cubby door. And when he opens the cubby door, wouldn't you know it, another jump scare and a bunch of clowns come down.
So here's my big thing about this. Like the clowns aren't scary if when they come to life, if they're already scary when you see them. It's like you have to have some kind of change. You know, you got to make the creepy out of something else. If it's already sitting there smiling with this evil smile and like, ooh, it's a clown that fell from the attic. What am I going to care later when it turns it into like this evil being that attacks him?
Right. And that's the
you
thing
know?
Is in the original, the clown was already owned
right.
by
it was his
them.
Toy.
They
his own
knew
toy
of
attacked
the clown.
Him.
Right.
That's
exactly.
messed up.
So,
So, and the clown doesn't really get any activity until the end of the original
exactly.
film. This it's one, like, they started right off with like 10 clowns or
clowns are popular.
Around
let's talk about clowns.
I mean, but we're getting ahead of ourselves again because there's so much. Yeah.
No, that's right at the start.
I just love to hate this
movie
so much.
The thing is he freaks out about the nightlight, which is a parallel to the original. But the little girl freaks out in the first one. This one is the son freaking out about the nightlight. But the parents are also relaxing in bed, and yes, I used air quotes, and the son comes in the same exact moment.
Yep.
It's like, that's the one exact scene for scene parallel they made in the remake, was the parents in bed and the son coming in and interrupting.
Odd choice.
Yeah, out of everything you could have remade, like, specifically, that's the scene, like, you're watching the original. You know, that's probably the best scene to remake right
there. That's the best. I really want to see the dad's pants come off while his son enters the room. Odd.
Oh, man.
So.
And then the squirrel jump scare, too.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Yeah. And they made it so menacing looking for no reason. And it's just a fuzzy little squirrel.
And then the dad embellishes the scare after he leaves.
At least that
you know,
was
he's
funny.
Like, oh, he locks the squirrel up there, and he's like smacking against the walls and stuff. Oh,
see,
my God.
I can see Craig T. Nelson doing that in the original. I could see him doing something like that.
Didn't he do that to just
he did something
goof
like
off,
that,
though?
Right? Oh,
you know, yeah, he's super nice to him. He even goes and tells him how to count lightning to tell him the storm's leaving.
Right?
I was expecting the older daughter to come in and do that in this one.
Nope.
Oh, the older daughter was a total turd in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
But in the other one, I don't even know if she has more than one speaking line.
She
so they gave her
much.
A few more things to say.
Oh no, her main line is, "What is happening?" My neighbors are gonna hate me right now because my window's open. Yeah, so at this point, the little girl
who is not Carol Ann, apparently. I kept waiting. I'm like, what's the girl's name? Like, you know, in the first movie, because it's famous. And now in this one, I'm like, what's her name? Is it Mary? Is it Angela?
Maddie.
Is it Mabel?
Oh, yeah, it's like Maddie.
Oh, that's right, Maddie. Oh, okay, Maddie. What?
Yeah, so she's downstairs talking to the TV screen, and the little brother says, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "They're coming." And everybody, what?
And
they're
like,
coming.
And it's not even that. She says something even before that. I forget what the line is.
No, she says they're coming. And then she says, they're here. Like, not even
does.
A minute later,
right.
She goes, they're here. Like, why even say they're
But she didn't
coming?
Say it like that either. She didn't say it creepy. They just went, they're here. Like,
yeah,
okay,
in my notes, I put, weak, they're here.
Yeah, they're
that
here.
Was probably my main
My note says, they're here, .. 1 minute later, .. Dumb.
It's like one of the most well-known lines in horror, and they like foobarred it. I don't get it.
Oh, totally.
And then they added the hands inside the TV.
What is
this
that?
Time.
It was so stupid. It was
I
like,
don't know why.
It's
they,
like I went
who
to,
made that artistic choice?
It's like I went to Spirit Halloween
I didn't
and
mind
found
that
some prop.
Too much. That's something I didn't mind too much.
Oh,
that
awful.
That I was okay with. I mean, it was an artistic change. I mean,
it
rather than
weird.
Just having.
I wouldn't call it artistic, but I would call it a change.
It was an artistic choice. It wasn't necessarily a good artistic choice.
Okay,
there's always
go.
Bad artistic choices.
That's true. We got
bent spoon right in the morning. And then we had the flower bed that's all dead when he gets back. And then we have the what did you mean conversation where the mom's like, what did you mean by saying they're here? And she's like, oh, I don't know.
Whoa.
Same exact sequence of stuff that I didn't care about in the first one. They repeated it here.
I feel bad for Trevor because Trevor
the roll
watched
balls
two movies he hated.
And instead of the chair slide, and then we talked about the comic stack instead of the actual chair stack, and it was all just so goofy and dumb.
Oh, the comic stack was awful.
It was all CGI. That's why it was so bad. You couldn't even stack comics.
CGI. No.
And not even just that. Like you're coming from a movie where like 1 minute it's all in one shot, which made it so good in the original, where she's in the dining room, walks over to the kitchen, one shot, grabs like a napkin or something,
and turns
walks
around.
Back
there
in
is,
there,
yeah.
And all the chairs are stacked up. That's what made that scene work. Three or four different cuts of the boy looking around the room, and then all of a sudden there's comic books stacked up, and then the comic books explode. That's not one.
That's the difference between having Spielberg storyboard for you and not.
Right.
That way.
So that did not work. And at this point, listeners,
At this point, you should probably stop watching that movie. But yeah, anyway,
you could probably hear in our voices that I mean,
we love this film. So kinda, you gotta just keep heading on.
We delve in deep into this thing.
One aside I want to mention, though, is that the girl breaks her phone or loses her phone or whatever. It gets fried. And so he gets her an iPhone 5C. No one on Earth has ever celebrated getting an iPhone 5C.
No.
Sorry.
Hold on. In 2015,
was DOA. And then she's texting her friend and it's green bubbles. You don't even need an iPhone if you're texting somebody and it's green bubbles. You need the blue bubbles. Come on.
It's like they didn't
and then
even
she
try.
Uses it as a Geiger counter later in the movie. And it's so annoying. It makes the Geiger counter noise as she's going around trying to find where the source is coming from.
Yes. And who in 2015 is still putting their cell phone up in the air to get a better signal?
Right.
That's how you do it, right?
Well, and the screen kept screwing up and made it look like a CRT TV.
It did, right? It was like the wrong choice. It was the
like
wrong
that
choice.
If you're going to make the screen go out, do it properly, not CRT TV.
So I think this is bringing me to a point that I wanted to make about remakes in general, is that are they necessary and when are they necessary?
I believe they are necessary.
I do too.
For money.
For money, sure. Or for, say, like a movie that's maybe so old that it's lost to a generation that hasn't discovered it yet.
Yes.
So remake
yes.
it Lot- for but, them.
But that's the thing is like, I don't think the 80s are old enough yet for movies to get lost to generations yet. Because
maybe.
Our generation is still going to show our kids these 80s movies. You need to start remaking, you know,
maybe the
70s 60s,
or 60s, yeah.
60s and 70s movies where we don't quite know about it. I mean, I believe we're all in our 30s here. So, yeah. Yeah, I know.
I'm still in my 30s, thank God.
You are pushing.
I am pushing
daisies,
though.
I was waiting on some kind of joke, some old joke there. And just nothing came, and I was disappointed.
Right? Well, I also think there is a third possibility, and that is where you have a really good idea for a spin or a complete retelling of it. Because there are those kind of remakes as well. Like, Strangers on a Train was remade for a movie called Throw Mama from the Train, which is more of a straight-up comedy.
Right.
But that does happen in Hollywood, and I enjoy that. Actually, if we're talking horror real quick, just as an aside, I really like the remake of Let Me In, called Let the Right One In and Let Me In. So one was a remake of another. I thought it was really good because the American remake of the Swedish film put in a whole new character that changed the narrative completely. So it made it more tense and exciting. It made a different movie out of it. So the first one was more slow and moody, whereas the new one was more intense and high energy and in your face, I guess.
Kind of like cool. Ghostbusters, yeah.
It's not like Poltergeist. It's definitely more tense and in your face. It might not
something.
Be good, but there's more tension. They just drop the ball every single time they try to establish it.
Yeah, if I
see what they were trying to go for.
Why don't we get back into it? Because at this point, this is where the clowns start running around.
Well, no one believes the son, and they just consider him a baby who thinks something's wrong. Because in
original,
you
called my son a baby.
So she's more of an authority figure because it's the mom. You know, when the mom tells the husband, she's like, he's like, okay, I guess I believe you. Well, not really. I got to watch you slide the chair across the room.
Right.
This one, they're like, he's crazy. Do we got to take him to a specialist or something?
Right.
It's just weird that they chose that the person revealing what's happening was somebody that no one believes in.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't had enough of that in movies.
Right. So,
like, we know. The audience knows what's going on. That's the problem with the remake. There's no surprises whatsoever. The audience is 100% knowledgeable about the happenings. So the spending time, wasting time with, who knows, is this kid right or not? I mean, that's stupid. Come on, just drop that completely.
Yeah, and everybody talks over them, kind of like we do in this podcast, too.
Right.
You have to. You have to talk over one another.
Oh, I know. We got to get our point across somehow. But yeah, so
how else would you do it?
So
if you stayed silent, like Josh is here right now, you wouldn't get in edgewise.
Yeah, sorry, Josh.
Well, at this point in the movie, the clowns, this is where the clowns come alive, which I actually felt a little creeped at this point. I knew the clown was going to come alive, and I didn't really realize that they were going to bring the clown out this early in the movie. to come alive. And it's kind of interesting because in the dark with his flashlight, when he's looking at one thing in the background, you can hear thud, 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 and then he turns around and now the clown is in a new place. I actually kind of felt that's pretty clever and cool until, and then the clown jumps out and attacks him. And then the clown's like in your face and in the camera, just like almost like if you had 3D glasses on
and you're face, looking.
Yeah, it's in your face, which I mean, I'm not going to say that it's terrible, but he gets the clown off of him so fast by kicking the clown in the face and the porcelain mask of the clown breaks apart and the eyes still track him. Right. But in the original, the kid sits there and struggles and he's ripping all of the stuffing out of the clown. In this one, intense. It was really intense.
And this was not.
No, it wasn't at all. If we're going to talk about the ending of the original, it's the least tense thing I've ever had. I'll try to wrap this up as quickly as I can. But idea that they got rid of the mom has gone through the entire sequence and brought the daughter back. Okay, it's clear. The lady leaves and says it's clear. And so the dad's like, I got to go to work. I'll be home early. It's pitch black. The mom goes, takes a bath, and the other kids go to bed. Even though the dad said, we're not sleeping here another night. She literally puts them to bed, and he doesn't come back until it's pitch black. And that's when the clown starts going crazy. No, I'm not going back in that house. There's no one going back in the house. The last 15 minutes don't even exist because no logical person goes back in that stupid house. So no, there's no tension with the stupid clown or the stupid girl holding onto the bed and flying around or the mom on the ceiling spazzing out. No, there's no tension. That doesn't happen.
We're not talking about the original. We're not talking about the original. There's no panty shots in the new one either.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Don't expect that. Did you time yourself for that rant?
Yeah, I got it in.
Oh,
covered it.
So, well, okay. I felt like in the new one, I felt it was a little tense, but I feel like all that tension got ruined by the goofy looking CG tree that comes crashing through the window and like stretching its limbs down the stairs to chase the boy. I thought the CG looked terrible and it took me out of that scene. Like I was legitimately like, ooh,
I walked away with my headset on.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, this is kind of creepy. This is kind of creepy. And then, I'm a tree coming through your window, which in the other one, I'm a tree. But in the original, yeah, the tree was, I mean, it was a practical effect. They actually had like a tree arm come in and it looked a little silly, but this one, there's something about CG that
it's
just
horrible.
It takes me out of all the movies that I
see
with CG.
And to Trevor's point, like a lot of practical effects in the 80s were not well done. I mean, they were trying their hardest.
Good practical effects are amazing.
Right.
But bad practical effects are goofy. And it's the same thing with CGI, though.
Oh, absolutely. Look at Jurassic Park in 92. Great CG.
Right. But I would rather take some good, in instances like this, I'd rather take a bad practical effect over a CGI.
100%.
I don't know,
agree.
The bad CGI reminded me of Stranger Things season 3 when the thing breaks through the roof and is grabbing Eleven. It looked almost identically stupid.
Yep.
And that's, I understand, because Stranger Things is stupid budget, but this is a movie that you should have
a
better
budget
to pull off the CGI on this. But having him freeze at the top of the stairs for no reason, just
what
so the tree
that
can catch up and grab him. Like, he gets out of the room and the tree reaches all the way down forking hallways and stuff to get him at the top of the stairs.
Like,
well, hold on. No, at that point, that's when he goes into his sister's room. He sees the closet door is swinging open, like crashing and swinging open. The little girl is curled up in the corner with her teddy bear. And he's like,
yeet.
I'm out of here.
Yeet is exactly.
He bails on his sister,
does,
who's about
I
to
know.
Get murdered by a bunch of ghosts.
And this brings up, like, you mentioned the stair part where he's frozen at the top of the stairs. I understand what they were trying to get at with that. Like, you know, the tension of, like, being frozen in fear and not being able to move. And, like, it's the whole night terror thing. Like, other movies and shows have done this so much better. Like, if you watch The Haunting of Hill House, they have scenes in that where the little kids have that. And it's absolutely terrifying. And they don't. It doesn't make any sense in this because he's on the top of the stairs, and it takes forever for the stupid
it's just
arm.
So stupidly weird.
I'm like, what is this? There's nothing scary about it.
So I want
to also
jump
back to
ahead.
My other point. I just do want to mention really quick. I'm getting rid of that box of clowns too. I'm not leaving it in my
right.
Stupid
what are you doing
room.
With
Why
it there?
Why did they leave it? That did not make sense at all.
Burn it. Burn it in the backyard.
So back to the little girl being scared. That whole thing was kind of silly to me because she's sitting there talking to these ghosts, and these ghosts are her friends. Oh, who are you talking to? Oh, they're my friends. Yeah, they're nice, and they're my friends. But all of a sudden, now she's terrified of them? I thought they were your friends. Aren't you supposed to be okay with them?
Hey, with friends like these, who needs enemies,
She
right?
introduces the lost ones, too.
True.
It's really
I guess so.
Interesting. Through the entirety of this movie, the one thing they did was very concise descriptions of the problem at hand, why it's happening, and the weird metaphysical spiritual ideas. Like the first movie, they'd stumble over themselves multiple times as the lady with glasses is trying to explain what's going on. It takes her about 5 minutes that this one uses about 30 seconds to go over. It's quite metaphysical descriptions.
In the original, I loved her description. I love the old lady's
description. It takes her forever to get there.
But
it
that's
does.
All.
It does
There's something about having that creepy old lady, the paranormal lady. Just,
is she the daughter of a munchkin?
Are you talking about Zelda Rubinstein? She's great.
Oh, she is she's a delight in this movie, or in that movie, in the original. Anyways, did you guys notice when the parents got home and they find their kid in the tree and they see him swinging around in the tree? Right once they run up to the tree just like gently brings
the
boy down.
I know.
And then drops
isn't this nice
him.
Here? Let me give your child back. I'm sorry.
Oh,
playing.
You guys are here. Oh, you guys aren't supposed to see this. Here's your kid back. I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm a tree. Bye.
God, the Whomping Willow in Harry Potter was scarier than this tree.
Yeah, the tree thing, that was so weird, because the original tree is super stupid, because the mom just hangs on the porch and is like, oh, save him, save him. I'm like, just go out and help. I'm not going to stand there if my kid is being swallowed by a tree and say, oh, God, tree, give him back. So at least they didn't do that, but they went stupider by the tree literally giving him back.
Yeah,
right.
Just because
they
asked
nothing.
For him.
They,
so they were
they
both
stupid.
They walked
up to the tree, and the tree gently brings the kid down. It was the dumbest thing, man. Yeah, and at this point, this is like the halfway point of the movie.
This is only the halfway. You're only halfway.
This is halfway.
The goddamn movie.
There's also the expose that, the same expose that, they moved the headstones. It used to be a burial ground. And then the one guy's like, at least it's not an ancient tribal burial ground. They have the same exact line. There also is an ancient burial ground, actually, about 5-10 miles from my house that they put a housing development in in the like 80s right after Poltergeist came out. My parents always tell me about that one. But imagine though what would really be a good movie, I make note of this, is that Sam Rockwell's hearing this and he's seeing all the stuff that happens to his house, and I paused it because I had to go in the other room and his mouth is just agape, and I'm like, imagine if you were thinking, man, this is just like that movie Poltergeist. Right. And they made a universe where the Poltergeist movie existed
this
and you're dealing and living with it. That would be a good movie.
That would
movie.
Be fantastic if that happened.
This is all just like Poltergeist, damn it.
That's hilarious. This is just like that movie.
That's
a
good movie that didn't
like
get created.
T. Nelson, what's happening? Why do I have the same number of children?
Same ages and everything.
Wow, what? Wait a second.
They go to a paranormal. They go to a paranormal place in the
same paranormal crew. You have the
same
older
lady
with the
glasses.
You have the nerdy guy, and then instead of the African American guy, they have the new African American woman to switch it up. Right. This is a remake.
Hey, you got to update it for 2019, baby.
Yep.
Just slightly updated.
So as the paranormal folks are looking at the wall in the closet, this drove me up.
Drove you, like drilled you into your head?
Oh, no, this was so... I'm not even talking about that.
Okay, good,
I'm talking about how, as they're talking to the paranormal folks, they're looking at the wall, and the guy's, like, tapping on the wall, and the dad says, that's a solid wall. I poked and prodded about 100 times. And you're looking at this wall, and it doesn't look like anybody's poked or prodded that wall at all. It's just, it's a perfect wall. I'm like, dude, at least put a little bit of dents in the wall to make it look like it's been poked and prodded 100 times.
right?
Yeah, seriously.
And then the chair flies across the room and smashes into 100 pieces, which was pretty cool.
It was cool, but over the top.
We set up that story. Well, we're talking about over the top. The original, the guy comes. He's like, I captured on time lapse.
I know.
Hot Wheel moved 7 meters. I was 7 hours. And this guy introduces the same story. I'm like, God damn, it's the same story. And this is Piano Bench instead. But in the original, they go in the room and there's no convincing needed. Everything is flying around in that room.
Yeah, and the light bulb
people
is
are like okay, I'm all in.
Yep.
This one, they had to see the chair get smashed across the room for some reason.
Yeah. Some reason. That was ridiculous. Yeah. And that was, and still he was like, he was still kind of like, oh, I still don't know if I believe, but yeah.
And then Sam Rockwell, he's like, oh, did you get that on time lapse? That line.
The unnecessary jokes. A chair flies across the room and smashes against the wall, and the dad makes a subtle joke and walks away. And it's like, wait a second. Are you just trying to play it cool because there's strangers in your house?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm too cool, man. Check out this joke I got.
Mr. Jokey McChokerson here.
I love that we are just poking at this movie so hard.
She walks right into the beyond through the closet. You know, the other one, she gets sucked in. This one, the little doll goes in there and she walks right into the beyond. And then they do the same stretching hallway sequence that they do from the original.
They do. It's like that weird lens thing trick.
Okay, so, but here's the thing about the original. Watching everything suck into the hole, watching the bed and the dressers and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's more intimidating.
You can't tell me that you didn't like that. There's no way, because that was awesome.
He did, he said, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The end was stupid, and the setup was stupid, but there was good sequences. Like any movie, I over-exaggerate for hyperbole, but...
So you do what I do, and then you get mad at me for doing it. Interesting. Oh, you hate that movie. Oh, well.
Yes.
So here's another thing.
I actually do hate this movie, though, this new one.
So in the original, we had a real creepy scene where the dad starts pulling the skin off of his face. Like that.
No, it's the other guy.
It's iconic. It's iconic seeing the dad pull his skin off.
It is?
Oh,
I wrote a note,
it
was goofy face.
Oh, it's goofy as hell.
It's like the goofiest
the
CGI, or the goofiest practical effects CGI.
It is so iconic.
Come on.
But no, here it goes back to my point, though, of the scene that they do in this one in the sink, you know, where he sees his reflection. I think I'd much rather have the original. At least it's like...
Oh, the original is still better. This one's stupid.
It's so bad.
Where he sees the reflection on the faucet, like, and his eyes are black and he spits out the maggots from the drink or whatever. The steak crawling across the original.
Oh, that was great.
That was the one thing I remember from the Halloween Horror Nights maze.
Oh, so great.
Was the steak crawling across. So that was a good sequence.
Oh my god, dude. That was awesome in the...
Yeah.
So me and Trevor last year went to Halloween Horror Nights and went through the Poltergeist... the haunted house at the Poltergeist. Which... I thought was excellent. They did.
It was a good one.
It was a really good haunted house.
I hadn't even seen the movie and it was still a good haunted house.
I was a little bummed that they didn't bring it back this year, but they did replace it with Ghostbusters. But it was really cool that like in in the Poltergeist house, you had the clown scene where the clown is swinging from under the bed trying to grab you. And
then
you've got, you know, the dad clawing his face away. And then he does a jump scare towards you. It was really cool kind of living in that house or walking through the house because they built it beautifully. It looked just like the movie. It was wonderful.
Huh.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Up the discussion talking about cops. And in the movie, he says, we can't call the cops because they think we're crazy. I actually agree with him in that point. Could you imagine if you called the cops and you said that your little girl went missing through a portal or something and all kinds of stuff is flying around your house?
Sure, buddy, you're going down to the station right now.
You killed your daughter or something. You know, you would be going to prison if you called and reported something like that.
He's like, there's bodies under the floorboards too. I don't know what's happening. He's an officer. You better check it out.
And then they also reference today with the reality shows where the guy's talking to the kid. He's like, I see your dad. He's down on his luck. He's lost his job. You know, faking a poltergeist event could be a good reality show.
Could make you some money.
It's also true, too.
God.
Yeah, so but at the same time, it's like, I think I even wrote that in my notes somewhere that, like, how unnecessary, like, who goes up to a 7-year-old kid and says
does
that?
That guy's character was awful throughout the whole thing. Every scene he's in is just, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to film. Oh.
So that brings us to the drill sequence.
Yeah, oh God.
All I wrote was,
funny.
No, thank you. No,
I don't think it was meant to be funny.
No, it was awful. It was the stupidest thing ever.
I'm not sticking my hand in that arm or in that wall. I'm not going. There's no way I'm doing this.
The drill got sucked in there by some entity.
I'm leaving the room.
Yeah, you leave the room and you say, guys, we need to get some cameras in here. Stat.
And that scene drove on for like 20 minutes or something. At least it felt like it.
I wish it would have just blasted. I wish they would have drilled his head. It would have made it worth it.
That's what I thought would have happened.
I needed the drill to go through his head.
God, Lord. That was just awful. No,
man, we need to start cranking this movie out. Because there is
We get talking through the TV with the daughter just like the original, but nobody cares. You have the accessible metaphysics, like I mentioned, but have you watched Stranger Things? Mr. Clark does a very similar idea of talking about the upside down.
Mm-hmm.
They do a really good job of explaining how the papers are overlaid in the circles. Right, it just reminded me of Mr. Clark.
It did. It had that feel. Absolutely. She had the glasses and everything. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Same. I liked that portion.
Okay.
Science! Yay!
And then you have creepy Maddie running around as a shadow.
What the hell is that?
That was actually different from the original.
That didn't make any sense to me at all. I felt like I was watching a... I don't know, like a movie from the 80s, actually. I don't know. I just felt out of place. It didn't make sense.
I just remember when Maddie was in the closet as Shadow Maddie, I remember turning down the
Shadow Maddie.
Yeah, I turned down the volume because I'm like, I know a jump scare is going to happen here.
Me too.
There's
I did
no
the same
doubt
thing.
About it. Yeah, so I turned down the volume.
I'm like, a Shadow Maddie, she's going to jump and scare you. And sure enough,
surprise!
She did.
Surprise! It's a jump scare!
Yep. Funny. I did the same thing. I turned off my audio. I'm like, I'm not going to hear this. I know it's a jump scare.
I ended up rewinding it and pausing it on Shadow Maddie's face because I wanted to see what they did, like how creepy of the face they made it. It was decently creepy.
Yeah, sure.
It was decently
creepy. It was like, scary
Japanese
stories
horror.
To tell in the dark.
Yes, it had a very
creepy
similar...
thing has that same face kind of going on.
Right. It had no eyes and the nose was like sunk into the head type of thing. It was interesting.
Shadow Maddie.
So... Should we talk about any of the actual apparitions and ghosts and stuff and how they were, the differences between the two films?
Because
that was my biggest...
When they go into the upside down, is that what you mean?
Yes.
It was an upside down that was also kind of underwater that also looked like Scorpion King
with the terrible CGI
of all of the bodies.
It was so dumb.
Hold on, it wasn't scary at all.
And the way that they see in there is through the drone that the boy gets.
That drone has some tech to be able to translate video through dimensions.
Yeah.
I mean, I can barely translate video from my phone to my computer, and they're going across dimensions.
I'll tell you what. I am a drone operator. I have my license as a drone operator. I make a living by flying a drone. There's no way that a seven-year-old boy is going to fly a drone in a house up the stairs
where you can't see
through
it.
Through hallways. Yeah, exactly. Through hallways, then go into a closet, into another dimension. Yeah, we got that. And then there's monsters and entities reaching out at it. You're telling me that a seven-year-old did that all the way from his living room.
I'm sorry,
that's not happening. And he just got it the day before.
And also, when it falls down and breaks, the camera's still recording so they can see him
once
he goes in later. Because that drone, I want to buy one of those. That thing made well.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's every drone. Every drone is made like that, man. Those things are tough now.
That's
like
good
the one
to
I
go
have...
through dimensions and have dead bodies,
trample them
and they still work. You have one of those drones you've tested out?
The one that I have, you can fly it like 50 miles an hour straight into a tree. It'll fall down. You can pop it right back up and start flying again. Anyway,
that's good.
But my
point
was to talk about like even physically how they look. Like one of my favorite things as a kid that I loved was the way that the ghost people looked and the monsters looked. Like that practical effects looked was so eerie. You know,
like
it
even
had,
the
like,
giant spider thing,
oh,
like with
so
the
great
super
in the
long
hallway.
Arms.
Oh,
oh
so,
yes,
that was like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That's like the artwork from the cover.
And then
it
the
was
giant
so heavy
skull.
Metal, man.
Oh
so
my
great.
God, dude. I
love
it.
And like, this
is
like, you're not scared of this stuff at all. It's terrible. It's like, what
well,
is
you're
this?
Not scared of it because you just saw it on Stranger Things.
That's true. You did.
You're literally doing the same thing.
I mean, they have the raining snow down. Why did they decide to make that?
I don't know. Maybe because
it
was popular.
So dumb,
like,
man.
That.
And then we have the creepy fringe guy from, you know, he's in that Ghost Hunter show that they foreshadowed earlier. This house is not clean. You know, I was going to start this podcast with that line and I completely forgot because I didn't care enough.
What is his name was Kerrigan Burke.
Is that yeah.
It? Yeah. Kerrigan played- Burke.
And then, of course, he has a relationship with the paranormal teacher
lady. Of course
lady.
He does.
which they turn into a joke in the after credit scene.
The end credit scene, I'll give him a bonus point for that. That was good. You're taking it completely by itself. That was a good end credit scene.
I did not
so
stick around for that.
You didn't? It was so dumb. We're skipping ahead. Let's go back. Okay.
Well, you have GPS trackers on everybody.
Why?
And that was
oh
stupid.
My God. Hold on. And then they made a 3D model of the entire house within an hour's time.
I know, right?
Yeah. And then they still rely on the rope. Through all that advanced tech, still comes
still
down
the
to the rope.
Yep.
He has a special bag for the rope.
Yeah. His special bag that doesn't have anything special in it. Just rope.
Yeah, it's just that magical rope that creates a bridge. And I guess the big diversion from the original is that instead of the mom going in, the son goes in. Right. They still have the argument between the ghost person and the mom. But now the son just jumps in between and goes to go save the little girl.
Because he's got to prove that he's not a coward. I've got to go. It was my
his
fault.
Story arc. His character arc.
Yeah, that was his story arc.
That was his story arc. Yeah. And he went in and he went and saved his sister.
And man, I did not care.
But the whole the reality TV guy.
They should have had him die. That would have been
total,
epic.
Total unlikable character. Like, at least the woman in the original, the little woman, she
was classic.
It's classic and it's memorable. Everybody knows. Everybody,
this house is clean.
Yeah. You remember that. Everybody remembers it. And this guy had nothing.
No, you go.
He had no personality, man.
But yeah, seriously. I don't even know what else to say. We're getting to the end, the like climax of the movie. And it was like the weakest, as bad as the climax is of the original. This one says, hold my beer. And it's amazing what they are able to do with how bad this climax is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a slightly different one because they rearranged some scenes. But yes, it was really bad.
But the very end, the end of
the
original
the very,
is
very
actually
end.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Where all the graves pop up.
Yeah, it's
and
fantastic.
They're running through. They miraculously get out of the house and run around in the backyard. They don't show that connection in the original. They're just out.
It's true.
But
they
all
just
those
do.
Graves popping up was so good. And this one skull
that's it.
Pops up through some like tar ooze.
None of the
kind
neighbors
of
are noticing anything. There's
and then they jump in the car and I didn't even understand what Sam Rockwell said as they're driving away. The son's like, are we done with it? And he's like mumble something about something. And then they leave. There's no thing they have to overcome. The house doesn't fold upon itself. A light blasts into the sky. And that's about it. Was just this weird.
It's so weird.
There was no resolution to anything.
Oh, hold on. Before that, the guy, the paranormal guy has to get back into the house to do something. He's like, I have to show them the way. I have to finish this and show them the way. Yes. Right before that, their car got sucked into the side of the house and smashed a gigantic hole into the side of the house. But this paranormal guy walks.
He has to go through the front door.
He goes through the front door, but the front door is locked. So he's trying to bang the door down.
It's so bad, I didn't even notice that.
There was a giant hole.
I must have checked out. I was not paying attention to much of anything after the
second
half.
Well, even when they get into that car sequence, I'm like, oh, they're just going
to
leave? This is stupid.
I know, is this the end of the movie
now? They actually move. Like the original, they were too stupid to leave. This one, he's like, literally, we are leaving right now.
Yeah, it made more sense.
And I was like, well, what are they going to do? And of course, some magical force throws him back into the house.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
But you're right. The roof blowing off the house, that big jolt of light, which
whatever.
Was very 2015. The big jolt of light was very cool. Looked that was pretty awesome seeing that. So
I'd rather have the original, but that's just me.
I love the original because we got to see it in It too when the house has collapsed upon itself.
And we got to see it in the
Pennywise.
Oh, hold on. But when the house collapses on itself in It too or whatever, it's almost like it collapses and then it goes.
Yeah, it does.
It's so dumb. So yeah, wow. Did we just finish the movie?
God, I hope so. That movie was bleh.
All
well,
right.
Well, there's also, when they're leaving the house itself, there was a couple fun things.
Oh, God, it
somehow
does
somehow the
end.
Roof creates a slide for them to go down. I don't know how it conveniently
oh,
does
it's a
that.
Oh, slide ride,
and
yes.
And then the daughter says, oh, Dad, I'm sorry I was such a bitch to you. And I'm like, why are you bringing this up now?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, do this
you're sliding
outside of the
down
house.
To leave the house.
Like, go bail now, no bail, reason. Bail, bail.
Oh, wait, hold
it
on.
Was so weird.
The car, when I was talking about the car that went through the side of the house, it flipped over on its
upside
roof,
down. Yep.
And everybody gets out of the car, and then Sam Rockwell gets out of the car, looks around, sees his daughter sitting Indian style by the stairwell. How did she get out of the car and get all the way to the stairwell and then decide to just sit there Indian style? And then she says something like, oh, I don't feel so good. And then something grabs her, paranormal activity.
And she flies up the stairs.
And flies up the stairs. That was the goofiest thing I had ever seen.
Yeah, dumb.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it was just a terribly stupid ending. Like, I love the original ending where they go to the hotel room, he gets the TV, and he puts it out on the ledge. That is an awesome ending.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful ending.
This one, they go to the stupid house, and they just leave the realtor, which looks like the same realtor from the beginning,
who
I'm never using again. They just sold me a house on false goods.
Oh, and then she was trying to sell a house almost identical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, this tree is the oldest tree in the neighborhood, and this kitchen is such a... And it's like... You just did this to them at the very beginning of the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, I just didn't like that happy-go-lucky song, too. It was just so bad.
Yeah, it was just... Okay. Let's jump to our overall thoughts.
Reaction.
Overall
reaction time. Brock, what is your reaction?
So, I've always said that I've had, like, a few in my years what I consider the worst films I've ever seen in my life.
No,
I'm
not joking.
It's not even close to being
that
bad.
It wasn't
the
that
worst.
Bad.
The worst. Yeah.
Jurassic World 2 is worse than this.
I haven't seen that, thank God, because I could not handle the first one.
Okay, guys, you're being ridiculous now. Jurassic World wasn't that bad.
It was unwatchable.
Oh, Jurassic World 2 is a train wreck.
We're not talking Jurassic World 2.
At least
we're not
talking
about
that.
I'm just saying I give this movie an F-.
F-? Holy God. Okay.
Well,
Trevor.
The point, the credit I have to give to this movie is that I watched the first one a day before I watched this one. And the first one is bad. It's not really a good movie. It has redeemable qualities, but there's stupid sequences that take you out of the entire film. This one makes that movie look good. So, if anything, you got to give credit to this movie.
All right, I raise it to a D. A D for dumb. There you go.
Wow, really? So all in all, like, you actually thought that the original was worse than this one?
No,
I'm sorry.
Made the original look better.
Okay, yes, yeah. that's. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Okay, I know that we ripped this movie apart. It's definitely not as good as the original. It's
cinematic cancer. I agree.
It's not super terrible. I mean, it was watchable. I was able to watch it.
I stepped
fun.
Away many times.
Here's the thing. It was entertaining for what it was.
I wish it was.
You didn't like it, like, at all. Like, there was nothing about
second.
It.
There wasn't
not
even
a redeeming quality.
Not one. It was the worst film I've ever seen. If I watched this in a theater, I would have walked out. And I've almost walked out of a few, but I didn't. I stayed. This one I would not have given it a chance.
I'll say it again. I said it at the very
beginning. I thought it was just mediocre and bland. I give this a lazy award for not really doing anything original, but it wasn't an offense to movie making. The worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
The editing,
it was just lazy.
The acting, the writing, the CGI, every single aspect of the movie.
The acting was better than
the
original.
So
don't
bad.
Even start on the acting. Okay, no, the acting was better than the original. The acting of the original is bad.
Trevor, you said it perfectly. You said it perfectly. It was mediocre and bland, but it wasn't the worst movie I had ever seen. So that's where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go mediocre.
Maybe I'm
bland.
Just being like Trevor.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna give it a D.
Here.
No, Prague is definitely going with overstated hyperbole. But
I
that's
think
because
okay. I honestly do forget some movies that are so bad. I just honestly forget them until I see them and be like, oh, that's right. That's pretty
that's
bad.
An old person thing.
It
yeah,
is
you should.
Thing.
You should probably watch like Zombiever or something like that, and then really experience a terrible movie.
Oh, well,
watch it on Netflix.
I will not then.
So all in all, I mean, that's Poltergeist 2015.
Sadly, neither of these movies were available to stream on any other platform.
Boo,
I had to literally
right?
go and find them.
I know.
We had.
I mean, come on.
We had to buy, or I was able to rent it on, what was it?
Yeah,
Amazon
I rented it.
Prime,
yeah. But I mean, it should just be part of Prime. So I'm already paying. I hate the rent on top of Prime.
Yeah,
that's
really
true.
It's weird, though, that Netflix or somebody doesn't get a catalog of 80s movies. I've noticed that I'm trying to watch these 80s movies, and there's hardly any available to stream. I don't know why. 80s
movies are hard to find. I think it's a distribution issue. A lot of stuff happened in the 80s with distribution that screwed a lot of stuff up. Like, things are being withheld by different companies. So the companies that took them over now can't release them because they're still binding stuff. That's what I've read.
A lot of that MGM catalog stuff, too.
So who, like, I noticed who owns
both these
those?
Movies like, were MGM.
Yeah, we need to figure out why they're withholding.
I think
these.
Sony owns MGM now. We know Sony's.
okay. Let's
That's
wrap
a whole
this up.
Another
discussion. This is a whole nother discussion. You guys need it. Listeners, tune in for some of our other episodes.
Worst.
We got
movie
hot takes
ever.
All the time. Oh. If you enjoyed our hot takes tonight, be sure to follow at Secondary Heroes on Twitter and Instagram. Find us on SoundCloud and iTunes and Spotify and all the places you love listening to podcasts and all kinds of fun stuff that we have going on.
Absolutely. And a huge thank you to the 8-Bit Geek for letting us be a part of 8-Bit Horror Fest this year. I know that this is a big opportunity, and, you know, to be a part of something like this is awesome, and I'm so glad that we are now a part of it. We're a part of history in a way, so cool. Thank you, 8-Bit Geek, for letting
Thank
us be
you.
A part of this.
It was a horror honor.
Oh, nice. To everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed, and we'll talk to you next time.
Prog out.
I slept with a ghost. Legit, not clickbait. How my house became haunted. That is your clickbait of the week.